Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning in again, once again, to our boardroom chats. Yeah, the Lord is so good and gracious. And I tell you what, God's going to do some things. And you are not going to forget the title of what we're going to talk about.
What are we going to talk about?
What to do when people become a pain in the...
I know you're not talking about me.
Did I say? That's the title. What do you do when people are a pain in the...
I don't know if I'm going to like this one.
You're going to like it, baby.
What to
you ready?
Do? Yes.
It's in the scripture.
Oh, really?
Romans chapter 12, verse 20 says, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And let's just face it. When people become a pain in the... sometimes you just don't want to overcome it with good. You want to say,
I got
the gift of turn loose. Go
no,
away.
I heard brother, I think it was T.D. Jakes that said he had the gift of goodbye.
Goodbye.
I thought that said it perfectly.
Just
well.
Go on, do your thing. And how many people are like that? Think about that for a minute. It's not aggravating. Jesus ran into that constantly.
He did. And yet
he did overcome their evil with
good.
His good.
That's so good.
So what do you think about that?
I'm shocked. But, you know, it is a reality.
Yeah. It's,
we all
so
have to deal with
title?
It.
You want to fill
what
in the blank?
What to do when people become a pain in the...
What?
Blank, dot, dot, dot. An ass. I think that's what you're talking about, right?
A pain in the what?
I said it one time. That your takeover. This is your title, not mine. Because, but, you know, it is a body part. You know.
Yes. And it's so true. And you know what's so funny? You thinking about that person right now. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. It's the most aggravating thing. But there is the power to overcome evil. Oh. Jesus came and overcame it completely and then gave us that power of attorney to use his name so we could overcome it completely. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, and let me just tell you something. Sometimes people, it's not easy. And it can be in your family. It can be in your kids. It can be everywhere. That doesn't mean you hate them, but you think, Lord, man, I don't need this today. You know, that kind of stuff,
yeah,
you know?
That's so true.
But I want to talk about that. But, you know, God's word is so good. And I like the word good. Good is a wonderful word because it says so many things about it. There's so many things about the word good.
Right.
But there's a lot of things about the word evil, too. So I made up my mind that I would live a good life. You know that little song, it's the good life, you know. And I really like that because it's so much better than yielding to evil.
Right.
And yielding to people who bother you, for lack of a better way to say it, you know. And, you know, I've been royally persecuted by the best, criticized by the best. Some of them, I tell you what, I thought, Lord Jesus, I thought, will they make heaven? And sometimes I did not voice what my thought was, but I thought, whew, I hope I never see them again, you know, that kind of stuff. But I was wrong, see? This is many years ago, and I said, you know, you have to bless those that persecute you and just do all kind of evil things for you. That's not an easy thing. But when you make up your mind that the goodness of God that's inside of you is greater than the evil that's inside of them.
I love that. And the Passion Translation says, never let evil defeat you, defeat evil with good.
Yeah.
So you can be an overcomer.
So that tells me it's a battle. There's a war going on, see?
It is a battle.
And is there any other translation? What else it says?
Yeah,
I like that Passion Translation.
Yeah, the Amplified. I was just looking at a few of those just a second while you were talking. I was listening.
Oh, you was listening?
I was, but I was
thinking
about it.
Have you ever felt that you became that?
Became evil? No.
No. No, that
overcame.
You became a pain.
I don't think I was, but I think you thought I was. Of course, you were wrong again. But verse 21 in the Amplified Classic says, do not let yourself be overcome by evil, but overcome master. In that parenthesis, it says master evil with good.
Praise the Lord. So there is that you don't have to be that. You know, I mean, sometimes people are just so irritating and aggravating, and that's just common, I guess, common way of doing things. It shouldn't be, but you know, God's word is so great. I mean, how many times I've had people do me wrong over the years of ministry, and I'd say, Lord, you know, he said, pray for them. How do you pray for somebody you don't like? Good God, it's not an easy thing.
Well, I have an example here. I just looked at my Dake's study Bible, and it says, never let evil get the better of you. Get the better of evil by doing good. And then they said, he lists seven duties to enemies. You want to hear them?
Yeah.
Seven duties to enemies. Number one, to love them.
Right.
That's a good one. Number two, to bless them.
Oh, it's getting worse.
Number three, to do good to them.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the scripture.
Jesus taught us that, of course. And number four, to pray for them. Number five, to lend to them. Number six, to be kind to them. And number seven is to be merciful to them.
Amen. Well, you know, there's a scripture in that in the, God has given us his DNA.
I want to say something, though.
Let me turn to Psalm
145. Before you go there.
Because that
145?
Psalms 145. Because you said something there that struck me. And I
read just want to say that before morning. You got born again, you were a pain in the A-A-A-S-S.
Was I what now?
All the time.
I was not a pain. You were the pain.
A lot of the times. But you know what What reminded me of that? Well, you're living for the devil. But
yeah,
one
but
thing,
you got everything you wanted, didn't you?
No, I did not.
What did you not get?
That's another show, that's another program.
That's another program, okay.
But I'm in a spot here. You're going to turn the page okay. And then I'm going to lose my thought.
That's what I'm trying to do, make you lose your thought.
But you know what made
me... call me a what?
You know what made me think of that?
What is that?
Is the seven duty, which to be merciful to them.
Right.
The Lord helped me to be merciful to you. You know why? Because I realized the reason you were acting, giving me a pain in the ass.
God, I don't say it.
Was because.
My wife cusses a lot.
That's not true. Of a word.
That's even worse, Kevin.
Anyway.
Lord. Should we air this boardroom chat? Yes. Because we're just as normal as anybody out there, and you know that.
Well,
go ahead.
Maybe.
You seem a little abnormal.
Who wants to be normal? Anyway.
I knew this would be a good thought. When the Lord told me, he said, talk about that, I said, oh, Lord.
But the point is
what's
that
the point?
I was able to be merciful to you because early on when I got born again, the Lord let me to see the reason you were acting like
that
was because you just didn't know Jesus. And this gives us helps us to be merciful. I believe God is merciful with us because he recognizes that there is an enemy out there that's always attacking his creation. Mm-hmm. So God's merciful to us because he realizes what we have to deal with, but he gives us power, he says, to overcome evil with good.
Well, you know what? It's amazing.
We don't have to be an ASS just because others are.
Yeah. Look what Psalms 145 verse 8 says. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy.
See,
that's
mercy.
What I was trying to get
yes.
that in.
Yes. I want to read that again. I didn't go
that's
there.
Psalms 145.
Psalms 145.
Verse 8. And even verse 9 is good. Let's read verse 8. The Lord is... Psalms
I think
145,
we need this today.
145. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion.
What verse again? I didn't
that's
get there
good.
Yet.
You're
going too
woman,
fast.
You're becoming a pain.
You need to be patient.
No.
With those...
I didn't spell it. I stopped short of everything, but you spelled it.
I'm a good speller.
She's a good speller.
Anyway, what verse are we on?
Psalms 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. Verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works.
Mm.
Think about that.
I love this. This whole psalm is beautiful.
So you say you've granted me a lot of mercy.
I think you've done the same
for
me.
Before I was born again. You ever thought about maybe me granting you mercy sometimes?
I just said that.
I know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get a little compliment here, you know. But when the Lord says it, he said, you can overcome that. And you know, one of the hardest things, since we're being honest and Kathy's spelling words and everything to that net, I've had a hard time, and I'm not going to lie, to overcome my temper at times. I mean, there is a line with me. You cross it, buddy, and I'm not proud of this. And I've overcome it. But boy, I want to tell you, there was a time when, you know how people say you want to fight? I didn't believe in fighting. I'd believe in just take somebody out. I mean, just take them out. And that was terrible to think like that. But, you know, I was real small, I was short. And, you know, when you get pushed around a lot, after a while, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's true. But that doesn't mean you have the right to, you know, hurt someone forever. You know what I'm saying? And that kind of stuff. But I was taught to hurt people forever, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Whatever it take, you know. And my grandfather used to say, alligator got to eat. You do what you got to do. And, man, I thought, but thank God when I got born again. And I got to say this, even though you aggravated me greatly, greatly when she talked to me about God. Now, she would say if I would. And naturally, it would aggravate me because I was of my father, Satan, the devil.
You were under conviction.
No, mm-hmm. No. I wasn't under conviction. What happened was your faith was rubbing against my anger, rubbing against my sin.
In that conviction?
So, no, not I didn't want to change. See, well, conviction means you want to change.
No, it means you should.
I don't know, Kathy. I'm the one who went through it. See what I'm saying?
I lived it too.
And you lived it. But what happened was in that rubbing that was wrong, you know, that friction, God was knocking off the rust. Knocking off all the junk so he could get to where the pure part was. Because everyone God's ever created has been good. Hmm. But they got crusted over with, you know, evil and everything they did. So that's what happened. And then, of course, naturally, when I came to the knowledge of Jesus, when I got born again in 1974 on Labor Day weekend, God finally knocked all of the rust. It's like cleaning a chandelier that's a... You know, we like chandeliers, and Kathy's putting a couple of chandeliers in the church and things. And I wouldn't say dirty, but they were crusted over, you know, for years of whatever, you know. And, boy, you ought to see them now. They're just beautiful, the gold. All of a sudden, all that brown turned into really, underneath there was a beautiful gold color. And that's what happens when you overcome evil with good. You knock the crust off, see, and all that junk, and then the goodness of it begins to come forth. What do you think?
That. I love that. That's okay. Good.
Go ahead. Keep going. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's so true. I was looking at this, how there were, in Dig's Bible, I just told you about the seven duties to enemies. He also gives seven examples of loving enemies. And the first example, of course, is God. And he quotes Matthew chapter 5, verse 44.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to go back to verse 43. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust."
Yes.
"Or if you love them which love you, that reward, what have you? Not, don't even the publicans do the same?" So he goes on to say, and this is described to the end of the chapter, just two more verses. "And if you salute your brethren only, what do you do more than the others? Don't even the publicans do? But be you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven,
perfect,
is perfect."
The word perfect means matured.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's just so true.
That's perfecting the love walk is what he's telling you. And Jesus talked about how, you know, there was one of the commandments, love your neighbor. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus took it another step. He says, love your brother, love them as I have loved you.
Yeah,
that's a deeper love.
Oh, all day long, you know. And when you understand that, love is a phenomenal, phenomenal gift that God gave man. For God so loved, it was a gift that he gave his only begotten son. You know, and when you think about that, and Jesus was not treated right at all, even before he hit the crucifixion. You know, before, I mean, during his ministry, they were constantly criticizing him, saying this. I mean, if he drank something, they call him a wine bibber. If he ate something, they call him a glutton. I mean, everything was always, you know, cross hairs with him. People just hanging. But what happened was that love of God, that goodness in him, that overcoming power was rubbing the crust off, and that's aggravating when somebody rubbing that evil that was on them, see, so they could come to the knowledge of who the Father was. Mm-hmm. So when I was thinking about this, I was coming over, I said, "What do you want to talk about today, Lord?" And he said, "I want you to overcome, tell people they can and they will overcome evil with good."
I remember that the statement that you had, I think the Lord just birthed it in your heart, because I don't remember you saying it to that point when we were under attack at one point because of something we were believing for, and the words were twisted and the whole story was distorted and lied about. You had newspaper articles all over the world. It was about 7 years ago or something like that.
That's about all the jets and stuff.
So you had a statement that that you said you would tell people, you can't hate me more than I love you.
Yes.
Is that what you said? Something
I said,
like
you
that?
Can't hate me more than I can love you.
And
that was the love of God.
That God gave you that phrase.
Well, I tell you what, my daughter said, Dad, you're one of the strongest men I've ever seen. How can you handle that? And I tell you how I handle it. It's not because I'm some great guy. I asked the Lord about it. I said, God, I need an answer here. This thing is becoming global. And he said, you'll kill it with joy. And I thought, well, there's nothing to be too joyous about, you know what I mean, when people are attacking you and lying and everything, and you're on ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, all over the world, people trying to destroy you. And what's worse than that? Ministers never tried to help you. Ministers didn't try. I mean, they were scared they might get caught in something, you know. And they never once came to nobody. I mean, it was just amazing. But that was all right. The Lord was with me, and I did overcome it with joy. Actually, what the attack was, that they thought would destroy my ministry and everything, it turned out that my ministry grew because of it.
Yeah, it was orchestrated. It was like a character assassination designed to destroy our ministry. But
first,
Lord turned it around because you had the right heart, and it elevated us.
Well, you know, first they were saying that I had four jets, and that was not true. I've owned four jets, but not at one time. I gave away two of them. They don't tell you about that, and I knew about that. All those kind of different things, trying to be a blessing to people. And what happened was I was believing God for that Falcon 7X. You might have heard that. It was about 5-7 years ago. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to make an announcement. I got that 7X.
Amen.
I mean, we can go anywhere in the world, one stop, to preach this glorious gospel. So that's what I'm talking about, you know. I decided to take the path of right.
Right.
Now, it's kind of like Yogi Berra said, if you come to the fork in the road, take it. Well, which one? I love that, you know.
He's got some great sayings.
That's a great saying. Yeah, but which one do you take? Remember that the
decision
is yours.
I have a whole list of his funny sayings.
I know. They call them Yogi-isms. Yogi Berra was a catcher for the New York Yankees. He was
hilarious.
A great, great, great person. When you understand which way you're going to go, you know, a lot of people say, well, guide me. God will guide you to the fork in the road. Then it's up to you which side you take. And that just simply because, you know, it's your choice. It's your choice to get saved. It's your choice not to be saved. Here's something better. It's your choice to be healed or to accept by his stripes you were healed. And it's your choice to look more at the symptoms than the healing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't deny the symptom. Pain's pain. Don't misunderstand me. I understand that. But I look at my healing with such fervor, with such tenacity that all of a sudden, I don't feel the symptoms anymore. Then I realize because they're gone. You see what I'm saying? Now, does it happen right away? Most in my life, it does, but not all the time. You know, all the time. I mean, it was a battle. You know what I mean? Satan kept lobbing over those bullets of pain and things like that. But I made up my mind that if Jesus took my infirmity, why would I want it? If he bore my sickness, why should I have it? And by his stripes, we were healed. See, so I took that "were healed" to "I am healed." See, and it worked for me, not some of the time, but all the time. But going back to that, he says, you overcome this evil with good. Because let me tell you, sickness is evil. It's designed to make you feel bad, to actually eventually kill you. You know, cancer is an evil thing. Do you know what cancer does? It's so stupid that it kills itself. It feeds on the body. And it's actually cells in rebellion. I had a doctor tell me that. It goes all around the body. Say, why don't you tell the other little cells, why don't you join us? Because then you can grow as much as you want. And by doing that, it gets out of authority the way creation was done in your body. And all of a sudden, it realizes. And I think cancer cells probably freak out. When you die, they go, whoa, wait a minute. We just killed ourselves. How many times people destroyed themselves by being evil? See, and didn't realize it at first. They thought they were saying, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna get over on this guy. Or I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But they wound up destroying themselves. You could almost say that cancer cells are suicidal. You know, they go to the point that they destroy, then they die. You see what I'm trying to say? And so, you know, I've learned, when people become what I don't want them to become, and I'll let Kathy spell it or say it, that's a fine, you know, and or hyphenate it. You got a hyphenated word too there that you do on that. And it's true. And when she says it, and I'm not blaming it, when you say it, sometimes you look at that, that person is a complete you-know-what. But Jesus died for them. You did use the word but. That's a good, so we could, that's a little nicer word. You know what I'm saying? And when you understand that greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. And if God be for you, who could be against you? Mm-hmm. And why it says no weapon formed against you going to prosper. Wow, man. The Bible said this is the heritage of the service of the Lord. His righteousness is of him and of us. We're the righteousness of God. But let's face it, sometimes we don't feel righteous. But that don't change it. We are. And I mean that sincerely because I'm not moved by my feeling. If I'd have went by my feeling, I wouldn't be doing this today. I did something. We filmed this. We recorded it. But I don't know if you heard this week or whatever, that there was supposed to be some comet that had been traveling for 15,000 years, and it was going to pass closer to the Earth than the moon. But then you will never see it. It'll pass again 1,000 years from now. I thought, I want to get up and see that. It had like a green hue to it. You know, this was on Instagram, I think, or whatever, Facebook. Well, I woke up at 3:30. And I said, I'm going to go out there, and I got a big balcony in my home and everything. I'm going to look at it. I want to see that because no one has ever saw it that lived in my lifetime, and no one will ever see it again until a millennial passes. And guess what?
What?
Clouds.
Was it there?
No, I couldn't see it. It's the clouds. It was a lot higher than the cloud. And I thought, well, you idiot. I said, you know, I woke up to see something like this, you know, and it was nothing but clouds. And then I thought, so I was a little irritated. So I went back to bed and I got up this morning. And lately, we've been waiting for fall real strong here in New Orleans, you know, up and down heat and all that kind of. And when I walked out the door of my, I thought, ooh. The cool. Clouds made it cool and nice. And I thought, man, this is nice. So it didn't turn out bad. You know what I'm saying? But I would have liked to see it. So it's passed by now, I'm assuming, you know. And but I thought, well, let me go see this great sight. But I didn't see it. But maybe one day I will. Who knows? You know what I'm saying?
Somebody must have seen it somewhere on the earth that wasn't cloudy.
Well, I tell you one thing. If the millennial kingdom started now, we'd see it. Then everybody would see it because it's a 1,000-year reign.
If they're correct.
If they're correct, we don't know. You know what I'm saying? But I mean...
You might need a drink of water.
Oh, is my mouth... Yeah.
Thank you.
See, not, that's why I'm mentioning it. When don't, people become...
I'm helping you out here. What to do when people become
dry.
A paint... Yeah, I know, I can tell.
I'm
trying to help you.
You've been trying to help. I've never asked for it.
Yes,
I told
you have.
I said, if I want help, I'll ask for it.
You need help.
Do I?
Yeah. And the response to that should be, thank you.
Well, do something that I can say thank you.
You know, I was reading the scriptures while you were talking about all that, and the goodness is a gift, is a fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
It's one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Are you
in
good?
Galatians chapter 5.
Are you good?
Yeah, I try to be good.
Yeah, you tried. She's got the fruit of the Spirit.
I got the fruit of the Spirit. I'm working on developing that. You know, fruit, yeah. Fruit grows.
So you're becoming fruity.
Gifts are handed out. It's like
so you're
the
becoming
gifts.
Fruity. Because you're working
this
on it.
This is what I got to live with. Y'all pray for me.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Let's read some testimony.
Okay.
Also
no,
want
to
say.
What was the scripture you were talking
the
about?
The scripture
first?
Was Galatians chapter 5. Which talks about one of the fruits of the Spirit is the goodness of God. But I also looked up and saw in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, where it talks about how it's the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So God's, you know, a lot of people want to be hard on others and talk about their, you know, they're going to hell and all that, which I did that. But
yeah,
I didn't want you to go to hell.
Book.
But God is a good God, and he sent Jesus because he's good, and he wants us to have, what are you looking at?
No, I just thought. Since she said my lips, I spit on them.
A good life.
Go ahead.
And,
that's true.
Yeah, and that and Jesus was a good man, is a good man.
Yes.
And remember when they came to him and said, good master, what should I do that I might inherit eternal life? And Jesus threw it back on him. He said, why do you call me good? There's only one good in the Father. So he is the ultimate expression
Amen.
Of good. And we are called to be imitators of him. So even though we don't hit the mark all the time, and sometimes I may act like an ASS, you may act like an ASS.
I don't even spell it.
You may act like that, dot, 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 whatever. He started this, you know it. You were here in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And
you
so,
know what I think
but
of God.
God loves us and he helps us to grow and mature and so
yeah.
that we can be a reflection of him.
God is when I think of God, magnificent obsession. I mean, I am totally absorbed in him. I do his work. And I live every day for him. Some of these testimonies are so wonderful. Can I read one?
Sure.
If you don't mind.
I know which one you want to read.
Yeah, I got to read this. And you know, girls don't get it.
I only read
Chrissy
the last one.
Gave me this and she didn't get it. I told you to read it and you didn't get it, but I got it. It says this from YouTube. Wow, you guys look amazing lately. And everybody said, isn't that nice? We looked like chopped liver before.
Yeah, last month we weren't too good looking. I
did a Faith to Facts and it said I had a stain on my shirt and all the girls were going, so I had to do it like this. You
know? No,
and everything, you know. But I mean, wow, you guys look amazing lately. Well, thank you. I'm glad we look good. Can I read something? Is that all right?
Okay.
Wow. I got so excited when I heard you read my comment out loud. It's true. These chats always make my work day go faster, and sometimes I'll rewatch ones I've seen already. I really don't think I'll ever run out of these to watch because let's just say if I watch them over again, I'll still learn something new. Faith comes by hearing. Read this one from Australia. I've been thinking about Australia lately, and I really like this one.
This one from Instagram, someone in Australia says, this teaching was overwhelmingly awesome. As an Aussie partner, I truly am grateful, so grateful and honored to be connected and a part of your fabulous JDM family. God has blessed me so much through you. He is our great Heavenly Father.
Well, I thank all the Australian people that are partners. I mentioned we have offices there in Maroochydore, Queensland. Mm-hmm. And which is called on the Sunshine Coast.
Been there over 20 years.
Oh, yeah, way over 20 years.
Been preaching there longer than that, of course. That's how mm-hmm. long we've had the offices. I should know that. It's over 25, I know.
I know. It's such a blessing. Thank you. And if you're not a partner, you in Australia, become one. Hallelujah. Because you know what? We just preach this glorious gospel anyway and anywhere the
right.
Lord sends us to.
We were there
to.
Last May, I believe
yeah,
it
had
was.
A phenomenal
we went all
tour.
Over the whole continent there. It had a great meeting.
Phenomenal tour.
Planning to go back again.
Amen.
We're working
oh, yes.
on those schedules. I'll
working
pray
on
about
that now.
Us. That schedule. Joyce says, I am living and believing what I hear you all say about what God is sharing with you. Thank you for sharing it all with us. It's real. And I love how you bring out God's words. Love you all. I hope we're still keeping you as a viewer after today's program. It's a little on the extreme side, but just like I said, we're keeping it real, folks.
Why is
it? Remember how your dad used to say that when
yeah,
you
it's
preach?
Real, folks. Yeah,
Jesse's dad was one of those in the audience that would always talk back when you'd preach. And so Jesse was preaching. His daddy was in the audience. I remember he says, hear it, folks. It's real tonight. He'd
it's
say
real.
That. And he says, preach it, boy.
Preach
That's
it, boy.
My boy up
That's
there.
That's my son. That's my boy over there.
It preach was it. Adorable.
Well, first thing, why do you think this is extreme? When it's so prevalent.
Well, you just told me. Oh, well, it's still.
It's
a good question. What do you do?
That's
I hope we're
my
giving
point.
You good answers.
These boardroom chats, we will not shy away from something or even say something that you may not think we should say, but it's real out there. And we need to confront that and speak to it. Let's just face it, because some people are having trouble today with people that have become a pain and a you know what. So what I'm saying is, how do I overcome that?
Well, you often have...
So why would you call that extreme?
Because, well...
I got you now. See, that's what I'm saying.
What you smiling about? Like
well,
you got
because...
me. What does that mean?
Every once in a while, I win one.
No.
No, but it's true. A preaching should never supersede thought. It should make you think.
Well, you often say how... We often even disagree, but we don't become disagreeable.
That's right.
Not all the time. Every now and then we get a disagree. Just to be honest. But we often don't let, we have a commitment to not let the sun go down on our wrath. If
That's
we're
right.
angry about something.
That's right.
It's okay to be angry. Jesus was angry,
sin
but
not.
He says, but sin not.
I'd like to get it in there quick. Hallelujah. We only got just a few seconds left.
We can go as long as we want.
I know it, but I mean, I try to stay this within, so people got to go to work, do things,
and
whatever.
They can always come back.
Thank you, partners, once again, for being so courteous and kind to this ministry with your faithful financial support.
It takes
millions a month to run this ministry, and it's completely by faith. And listen to this. And 49 years of preaching this glorious God, we've never had a financial deficit. Why? I trust you. You trust me. We both trust God. And it's such a blessing. I'd love you to be a partner, because we've asked the Lord for every dollar given to our ministry to give us a soul in the kingdom. And we have done that and are doing it.
Amen.
If you'd like to be a partner, go to jdm.org. That's our website. You can hit the donate button. I hope you do. Or you can use PayPal, or you can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one. You can go to our free JDM app and select the giving you want right there. Or you can mail in, use the post office, a donation. I hope you do that, because so we can reach more people, change more lives, one soul at a time.
Amen.
We're doing this all the time, not only through these things, but traveling. I mean, we run 24/7, and because God's word is true. People are worth it. God told me this years ago, I'll count my wealth by the souls I possess. Jesse, make me wealthy. Get out there. And there's been times I've been so tired, and the Lord said, I'll give you 8 hours of sleep in 30 minutes. And he's done that before. And it's just amazing. So I ask you, once again, to be a partner, to help us to reach people and change lives. That's what it's all about. We're totally debt-free, ministry and personally. So 100% of what you send goes in the world evangelism. So if you see somebody that's becoming a pain in it, you know what?
Share this with them.
Say this. You don't have to tell them this, but in your spirit, I'm going to overcome this evil
with good.
Because Romans chapter 12 says I can. Till next week, this is Jesse and Kathy saying we love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.